This is an equation over 4 years. Okay, so you can begin to see this principle. In the first year, at the end of the year, I gave you $3. Okay? And you save that $3. And if you save that total $3 to the next year, I'll give you another $3. What is that called? Is it? Three and three is addition. Correct. And so, what would you have at the end of the second year? $6. If you save that $6 at the end of the next year, the third year, I give you $3 more, what will you have? $9. At the end of the fourth year, if you save all that there and I give you $3 more, what will you have? $12. That doesn't seem like a big deal, but that's addition. God wants to multiply. Let's take the same premise of 4 years, and at the end of the first year, I give you $3, right? The second year, if you save those $3, I am going to multiply that 3 times. What will you have? $9. That is correct. Multiplication is simply repeated addition. Okay? Am I right, Dan? It is a different function from addition. So now we have $9 at the end of the second year. You save those $9, and at the end of the third year, I multiply the $9 3 more times. How much do I have? $27. Which is a lot better than $9, correct? The fourth year, you take and you save those $27, I multiply it 3 more times, how much will you have at the end of 4 years? How much? 81. Which end of these equations would you rather have? Would you rather have $12 or $81? 81. We're all agreeing to that. Okay? That is a principle. I want you to think how God thinks. Turn to Luke, the 9th chapter, and what I'm going to do is teach you out of the Word of God some basic principles in God's way of multiplying. This is just a spiritual basic, Luke 9, starting in verse 10, and we will read to verse 17. If we're all there, put our hands up. I don't want us to miss any of this. Luke 9, verse 10. And the apostles, when they had returned, told him, that is Jesus, all that they had done. What has happened was he sent them out, and he told them, heal the sick, cast out demons, preach the good news, don't take anything with you, and God will supply your needs. Okay? So they're coming back. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who had need of healing. And when that day began to wear away, the 12 came to him and said, send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provision, for they are in a deserted place here. So all these people gathered, they listened to Jesus, and now it's time to scarf down and eat. But Jesus said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people. For there are about 5,000 men. Then he said to the disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so. And made them sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of fragments were left over until they were all taken up by the disciples. Within this scripture are three key principles in order to have multiplication, God's multiplication, to work for you. It will work in personal relationships. It will work in your finances. It will work in ministry. Each one of us has a ministry. And God wants to multiply that ministry. He doesn't want to add to it. But some of us really haven't understood the principles in here. Last week I talked about giving and having faith in giving to God. Today I want you to understand that when you start to give, you start aligning yourself up to receive blessings from God. We have to understand the scriptures more clearly. How many people did Jesus feed? How many people did Jesus feed? 5,000 men. Okay. What I want you to understand is here is a ratio. When they take a survey or a census, they count the men. Okay. A man is equivalent to one family. So there were 5,000 families there. Jesus is in an open air area. He has a minimum of 5,000 people there. Conservatively taking a family size between 3 and 4 people, we can estimate that there were 15,000 to 20,000 people. So the magnitude of this miracle is one that is impossible to be met, correct? We have to understand the scriptures. Men equal family. 15,000 to 20,000 people. Those of us that have gone to creation and we've seen 100,000, 110,000 people and see the enormity of what is going on there. The logistics to make that event happen is phenomenal. It is. It's phenomenal. We have to understand that in that logistic are these principles that I'm about to reveal to you. If you want your money to multiply, which God wants to multiply, you need to do it His way. God is not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of obedient. If we do it His way, what does that say that God will do for us? He will multiply us, right? Okay. That's even in church growth type of things. When we give to God, remember last week I said when we give the tithe to God, essentially we are saying, God, I'm going to trust you and I'm believing that you're going to give me more. Right? Okay. That more is in the multiplication. And then that more may not necessarily be financial blessings. That may not be just something that's material. What we have to understand is that if we shortchange God, we are essentially shortchanging ourselves. Really? Is that not how it goes? If you look at the equation of multiplication, if I shortchange anywhere in that formula, I'm the one that loses, not God. And remember I said God wants to bless us in everything that we say and do. Let's take a look at this in practical sense. I'm going to use your father, if that's all right. Okay. Well, Yairi's dad had come to me over a year ago. He had just committed himself to Jesus Christ, and we began to work in discipleship. And his life took off. And it was prophesied over him a couple things that God wanted to do in his life, of which, Thanksgiving, we were blessed to have him come with us and share our meal. He has asked if streams would be open to allow an AA meeting to occur here in streams. How do you think I responded? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because God gave me that for him a year ago. So we are on the verge of this multiplication. Since that time, there have been several people that have come to me with the same kind of condition. Alcohol or drug addiction or some other addiction. Of which, if it was alcohol, I steered them to Gary's dad. God gave me one. He gave me another. I turned it over to Gary so that he could touch the life of that one and touch lives of many others. With that one, he is multiplying the ministry. God wants you to touch people's lives to multiply the ministry. Same principle. Can you see this? Can you understand why I bring people to Jess or Gar or to Holly and Ed, not to me? Because I believe in this principle and I am doing that. I have four in leadership that is able to parley that and multiply and touch lives. Dan and Ed are being raised in other components of leadership for that same thing to happen through their lives, thereby multiplying the church or multiplying the church's influence into many people's lives. Do you understand this? Look at verse 14. Verse 14, Jesus instructs the disciples to do something. What did he instruct them, Steve? Who? Who? Jesus told the disciples to sit down. Is that what the scripture says? He instructed the disciples to have the crowd sit down in groups of 50. Okay? We're not going to get into the prophetic today. I just want us to understand that in verse 14, he is instructing his disciples. Are we not his disciples? When he gives instruction, what does he expect of his disciples? Obedience. Obedience. He expects us to do what he has told us to do. If we do not do what he tells us, we call that disobedience. In verse 16, he does something else. What does he do in verse 16? He blessed. Okay? He blessed them and broke them to multiply them. Principle number one. Resources must be blessed before they are multiplied. You can have the resources, but is God blessing upon them? Disobedience equates to no blessing. Obedience equates to lining up to receive the blessing. Some of us are equating blessings by their disobedience. Your blessings are coming upon you not because of your disobedience, but because you're under an umbrella of protection. And the more you are disobedient, the further out of that protection you move. Turn to Malachi 3. We know this scripture. We fight with this scripture. And hopefully last week I explained very clearly this scripture. This is the Lord speaking. Malachi 3, 8 through 10. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it. As I explained last week, I talked about first fruits, firstborn. I also explained and combated the logic that we're no longer under the law. I also combated the rationale of we're under grace. And we understand that if we have those arguments, we are the worse for it because we don't understand what God is saying. He is instructing us to do something. Is he not? What is he instructing us to do? Okay, come on. The tithe, yeah. That's his, right? But yet, we're robbing him. Right? We want to be blessed, but we don't want to do it God's way. We think we know better. It all comes to faith. I tithe because it's God's. I'm believing that when I tithe, I'm believing God's going to give me more. And I live by faith. I live by believing that God is going to give me more. And the more He gives, the opportunity for me to give more is there. Amen? How do we think that when we offer something to God, that we should expect a blessing? God says you're cursed. In the simplest form, being cursed or having a curse or living under a curse is the absence of blessing. Thank you, Daniel. It's real simple. Well, you know, Pastor, you just don't understand. I make X amount of dollars and, you know, God knows my plight. And turn to Haggai 1, Old Testament prophet. Haggai 1, verse 5, and we'll read to verse 11, says, Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvest little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your full. You clothe yourselves, but no one's warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them in a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says God. You look for much and behold, it came to be little. And when you brought it home, it blew away. Why, declares the Lord? because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you of your own homes busies himself in taking care of it. Therefore, the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land, and the hills on the grain, the new wine, the oil, on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, and on all their labors. What's God saying here? Because we're more concerned about ourselves, we don't consider what God wants. And so, when we consider ourselves, and because we don't discipline ourselves, we don't know where our money is going. We have no idea what we're spending on. And how many of us have said, you know, we had $500 on Friday, and we don't know where that money's going. We had it, but we don't know where it's going. This is what Haggai is describing to us. A person who is under the curse. A person who is not disciplined. Remember, I started this series in saying that we need to know where our money is going and tell it where it's going to go, not have it tell us how it's to be spent. If you don't know where your money is, and remember I started off by saying we need a financial plan, a budget. All of us, even the church, operates on a budget. And a budget simply is a guideline. Do we not make adjustments through the course of the year? We do. Because there are things that are prioritized in order for ministry to grow and continue to go forth. In order to receive the blessing, in order to receive or begin to enter into the fountain of multiplication into our lives, we need to do what God says to do. Principle one, resources must be blessed before they are multiplied. Part of that blessing is being discipled, disciplined. I know where my money goes. Remember I said to you, I said, you know, do you love God? And of course everybody said, yeah, I love God. And I said, show me your wallet. Show me your checkbook. And I'll know how much you love God by what you spend on. Amen? I'm not doing that, but I'm telling you as a spiritual Father here, I do have the right that when you come to me to ask that. Why? Because I want to set your house in order so that you can receive blessings, come out of the living under a curse, and that God can multiply into your life. Okay? When we tithe, we are just aligning ourselves up to receive the blessing. Because it's God's. We're just giving back to Him what's His. The fact of the matter is, we haven't even entered into our part. And we think that when we tithe, that we're doing such a wonderful thing. Yeah, you're lining up. But that's just giving back to Him what's His. That's no different than the servant who took that talent and gave it back to him what was already his. Remember the parable of the talents? Where's your sacrifice? David said, I will not offer anything to God unless it costs me something. The reason why we don't do it is because we're too stubborn. We're too willful. We think we know better than God. And the fact of the matter is, we're the ones who are worse off for it. God owns it all. We have to settle in our heart, once and for all, that when I give this, I'm giving it with a grateful heart. I'm giving it because I'm believing God's going to give me more. And He does. He is faithful. But I want my stuff blessed so it can be multiplied. Why? So I can touch more people's lives. Remember I said that if you have an attitude to give, you have an attitude to touch people's lives. Sowing and reaping, if you only give a little, you're only going to touch a little people's, or the little people's lives. A little amount. If you give more, you have a greater possibility of reaching more and more people. And that's what we want to do. I want you to focus on Ephesians 1:3. I'm not going to read it, but that's the truth of what's happening. Principle number two. Resources must be given away before they are multiplied. You have to give in order to receive. Jesus said, it is more blessed to receive. No, that's... It's more blessed to cheat God. No, that's not it. It's more blessed to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Because you will receive in like measure as you have given. But in good measure, pressed down, shaken to overflowing. Isn't that what He tells us in Malachi? That He will pour out a blessing to us that we cannot contain. You see, the choice and the attitude is yours and mine. I cannot afford to cheat God. I know where I came from. And I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to be under the curse. I want to know where His money is going. And I want it to be used for His glory. So when I give it to Him, I don't have strings attached. Many people come in and say, well, you know, I'll give, but I want it to go here. Take your money. You can't tell God how to use His own money. I can't tell you how to use your money. I can only tell you what God says. If you don't want to do it, that's okay. Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed between 15 and 20,000 people. He took a little, He blessed it, and He multiplied it. And there wasn't anything left over, right? There was 12 baskets left over. And those baskets were overflowing. When you look at the scripture and you take it through, it wasn't just a few crumbs here and a few crumbs. They were overflowing. Principle number three. The final principle. Resources are multiplied to the degree that they are given. What does that mean? 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, but I say this, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Say sows. Sows. Reaps. Reaps. You must sow before you reap. Right? But we think we should reap before we sow. And I've had people say, well, Pastor, when I'm blessed with a better job, I'll tithe. No, you won't. No, you won't. Well, that's kind of harsh to say. But it's a fact. The more we make, the more we spend. Do you know where your money is going? Do you allot some of it to God and set yourself up to receive blessings? Or do you spend it expecting to be blessed? You know, and Some of us have received blessings, but let me put it in proper perspective. That is mercy. You receive those blessings out of mercy, not out of your disobedience. God loves us so much that He wants us to have a better life. And the way we have a better life is doing it His way. I've been walking with God for 30 years. And the moment I got the revelation that if I did it His way, I'm on my way. The moment you get the revelation to do it His way, you're at Burger King. Have it your way. Come on now. We're going to take our offering in a few minutes. We didn't forget. This is God's design. We are exhorted through Scripture to use the gifts that God has given to us. My wife has the gift of giving. We understand that I am the burden bearer. I bear the burden of everything. She is the dispenser of blessings. She uses her gift. And there is not a person here that has not been a recipient of her giving. But that giving isn't meant to satisfy you. That giving is meant that since you received, now pass it on so that you can receive more from God. The poverty mindset here is hooray for me and heck with you. I have some stuff, and instead of me giving it away, I'm going to destroy it. That's the poverty mindset. I don't take care of anything. Everything that we receive comes from the Father of lights. And all His gifts are yea and amen. Use your gift. Whatever that gift is, use it for His glory. Touch people's lives. Amen. There are some here who are tithing. And I want to commend you. But let's take it to grace now. Remember I said grace is the ability to do more with what you have. My Bible says He is able to make all grace abound to me. Which means there are no limits. If I'm doing that, if I am pushing out and giving and giving back to God, He promises me that He will give me more grace. And believe me, I want His grace. It's when He said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." You see, we had this real infantile mindset of grace. I'm under grace so nobody can judge me. I'm under grace because, you know, God loves me and all this. You're under grace because that's the way it's been since the beginning. Even before Jesus died, we were under grace. We are favored. Grace is unmerited favor. It is not receiving something that we deserve. And so, since we deserve death, but He gives us life, let us multiply that. Put it in God's hand and start affecting people's lives. Take it to grace. You're giving unto God. That's great. Praise God. You caught that. But come up to where I'm at. Because I want grace. I want to give more. God loves a hilarious giver. I don't give to get, because God knows you pay me so well. But I know great is my reward in heaven. That when I get there, I know my motives have been pure. I know my desires have been godly. I know I lay my life down for you as a good shepherd, because that's the example I see Jesus doing. And then there's, finally, those I will describe as tippers. Remember I said money is the most spiritual thing in which God will give us this tool to use, but also reveal our heart. When you tip, when you give out of your substance, you're actually telling God what you think of Him. Have you ever thought about it that way? When you go to a restaurant and you tip the waiter or the waitress, your tip is telling them what you think about the service. Right? And yet, what we do is, I'll give a dollar to my kid, go up there, maybe I'll give something when they pass the basket. You're tipping. You're telling God what you think of Him. God tells us what He thinks of us. My thoughts are good towards you. My plans are to prosper you. But what are you telling Him? Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, man. Here, here's a couple bucks. I want to exhort you. I want to challenge you to step it up. Give back to God what's His. And see if He will not bless you and multiply and give unto your bosom good things. Pressed down, shaken to overflowing. Call the greeters forward. We're going to take an offering. Tell God what you think of Him by your wallet. All of us want to flow in the multiplication of blessings. Some of you are at a place where you believe you don't have anything to offer. I told you, tithing isn't just fiduciary. Tithing deals with your talents, how much you put into service. I know of a person who was in Africa, had no money. They put the basket in front of him. He stood in the basket. I said to him, I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm giving everything to God. Everything to God. That man today has an apostolic anointing. He oversees 25 churches in Africa because he gave it all. What has God said to you that He wants to do in your life that you are fighting Him tooth and nail? What does He want to do in your life that you're so resistive? Remember I said it's going to cost us all that we are and all that we have. This is not a joke. The kingdom is not built by wishy-washy people or just hoping something happens. The kingdom is built by His plan and His principles. And when we understand those principles, as it says in Isaiah, He feeds us line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. The church in America is so out of whack, it's ridiculous. there are pockets that are functioning and flowing properly. I want streams to not be a pocket or an oasis. I want streams to go out and flow and touch people's lives. If you've been touched by God, you have a responsibility to Him. If you call Him your Father, which He is, He meets His responsibility. It's time for us to meet Him. Amen? Father, I just ask you, take this, God, and you multiply it. And those who accept the challenge, God, I ask you richly bless them, Father, that they no longer be under the curse. They no longer have a poverty mindset. They not look at what they don't have, but what they do have, God, and what they can give. God, I've given them your word today. Holy Spirit, convict them, enabling them, exhort them to be all that Christ has called them to be. Money is a tool in which to reach people. Father, forgive us in our disobedience. Forgive us, God, of our selfishness and self-centeredness. Forgive us for cheating you, God, and wanting to stay under the curse. God, build us up in our most holy faith, that we would see that this principle of multiplication works in every area of our lives. Help us to be givers, God. Cheerful givers. People who give hilariously, God. Father, bless this ministry. Bless us in our efforts to reach our community, God. Bless us, Father, to work with other churches. Bless us, God, to grow up and mature in the ministries that you're calling forth. Bless us, God, as we become those people of purpose to walk in your plan and to see lives changed. I thank you for your people. I thank you for their obedience. I thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.